Good morning. Today is Wednesday. Boy, the 16th of June. Joining us this morning is Michelle Bushnell, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the tooth. Good morning.
Good morning.
Drive-in okay this morning?
It was an early drive, but I made it.
Pre-sunrise or not? I'm just curious, the fog that we've got, is it Scotia again or is it out a little bit further?
Up on my hill, there was sun, but as I went down to the main road, there was fog, so it's pretty fogged now.
Oh, good. There. So at least everybody gets a little bit of a respite from the,
yeah.
The muggy stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Winston, you said a heat advisory this afternoon?
Mendocino.
Oh, Mendocino has it.
Yeah. I think later in the week, we're going to be hitting some high heat.
Yeah, like tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, technically, I guess you were correct.
Okay, well, my weeks tend to blur into each other right now.
Oh, remember when you'd hear other people say that and you go, yeah, so what?
Yeah.
So does everybody's.
Yeah.
All righty. Are you ready? Oh, this one's up your alley. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Why are cowboy hats called 10-gallon hats?
I actually don't know. I've heard it, but
oh,
I don't
really?
Know.
Oh, really? Well, you're going to look like a champ at the rodeo next month, all right? One account attributes this term to the fact that cowboys use their hats as water buckets to take water to their horses and douse fires. Another says the gallon came from the Spanish word galon, meaning braid. Apparently, the custom of decorating the base of the crown of the hat with a leather strip containing 10 braids, or galons, led to the hat being called a 10-gallon hat.
I actually remember that now, the to carry water, once you said that.
That'd be an awfully large hat to carry 10 gallons.
Well, you know, the hats have gotten smaller over the years. 10-gallon hats are a Texas-style cowboy hat, and I do remember that. The hats in California tend to be a little bit holy because it's hot here. And so.
Well, and the little whirly bird thing
on
top.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So much has happened since last we got together. Where do you want to start?
You go ahead.
Very rarely do I cede that. What do we call it? Community committee reviewing the auditor controller. Is that getting the traction that you were hoping for? I know you're not on it.
I'm not on it. And
but I would presuppose that you are an interested bystander.
I am an yes, I am. And I think they've met twice, I believe. And I hear mixed emotions about it. I'm hopeful that it will be helpful for the auditor controller and for the county staff and community to understand some of the issues.
And possibly even the function of the position.
Sure.
I mean, it's one of those things that a lot of people don't put a lot of time to understand.
You know, me being a new supervisor, I have to really dig into what is that position and why are there some issues or am I misunderstanding what that position does? So that's something that is helpful for me. And we haven't gotten an audit committee report back as of yet, and that will happen. They'll present to the board informational. I'm looking forward to hearing that outside basis of interpretation of what's going on. That will be helpful for me.
Yeah, outside looking in, you get some standards.
Yeah.
You know, industry standards.
Yeah.
Community standards and things of that nature.
Yeah.
I would suspect that if you stay inside your circle too long, all of a sudden you start believing the circle.
Very rarely is an issue one-sided. There always is two sides, and there always can be improvement on both sides. And I think that there is room for that with the situation that's happening.
I guess it was probably 3 decades ago. Could that be? Yeah, either 2 or 3 decades ago, I was on that budget task force, the second one that Gary Eagles ran. And it was interesting, and I know it was dog and pony from staff's perspective, particularly over in the interim. We did our song and dance. But it was intriguing for me, the concept that a lot of the departments hadn't had anybody outside talking with them or an opportunity to share what they do. You know, you would think that they would be fired up about it unless they were concerned that somehow there was a knife that was going to go into their back because they were presenting. But just a normal back and forth. And I'm have had the thought, as soon as this one is done, perhaps this would be a good process to do for all departments. And you just have a five-year rotation or whatever it is, and for 6 months there's going to be an ad hoc committee of a dozen people, 10 people, 4 people, whatever the magic number is, and just kind of look into each of the various departments. Because everybody, you know, we normally call them consultants or advisors, and that's why you go to conventions an awful lot, is to get a different point of view, different points of view. You can ignore them, but at least you have some ideas coming in.
I think public oversight, that's kind of what you're speaking about, is a good idea in any governmental function. People get complacent in their job, and especially if you've been there a long time. And oftentimes it is really helpful to say, to hear a different opinion or a different thought or a different way that that might work. And it might, you know, just trigger something that says, oh, that could be more efficient. And
or three unrelateds.
Yeah.
And then that comes up with the idea.
And it's a good, and it's a good, I mean, it's a really good idea to get, to have that kind of a committee that could report back to the board and just say, this is what we're seeing out of this department. I think that's a great idea.
Particularly with the appointees, because there really is no review. There's the election process. There is no review that way. It's just these guys do some great stuff, but nobody knows about it.
Yeah. And I think it's a also with the appointed, it's how do you help them? How do you guide them? How do you get them to take your point of view without, you know, it's interesting.
Or on the flip side, hey, you guys are really kicking it through the uprights. Congratulations. We didn't realize how efficient and how effective you are. And, you know, the culture is positive and everybody's pulling the same way and I want to work for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that, there's that side of it also. It doesn't have to be, you know, bad moments.
I think that it need. I am very, I think positive is a good thing. And you have, you know, they say for every three, for every one negative, you give three positives. And that makes the world go around. And I believe in that.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell from the Humboldt County's Supervisors Chambers. You guys going to be in the chambers here halfway quick? I mean, can I show up and thumb my nose at you guys and be in the back row and make faces and all that stuff?
Well, so I have yet to be in chamber, so I would love to officially take the seat. I hear that the Kalosha is going to be making updating their ruling tomorrow, Thursday, and I'm hopeful that we will be back in chambers within the next couple of weeks. But I don't have any, nobody knows that kind of thing. You know, as of yesterday, the Humboldt County went away from the Humboldt County guidelines and has gotten in line with the state guidelines. If you're vaccinated, you are welcome to go in stores unmasked. So I heard people did it yesterday, and it's a, you know, there's it's kind of the unmasked and masked people now.
It's liberating.
Yes. Well, yes. I went into a few stores and didn't wear my mask and kind of got some sideways glances. So I think it's a very touchy.
Where you're wearing your I'm your supervisor shirt?
No.
Oh, so you were just regular gal shirt.
I'm okay. A regular gal.
Because so, that could have accounted for some of those looks.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're right. So I think that, you know, it's weird for people, and they're a little hesitant and still a little guarded.
Well, and it It was the same way going in, too.
Yeah.
So
yep.
It just kind of makes sense.
Yep. And I think as we get down the road farther and we get a little more comfortable with the new regulations and the new world of a little bit more freedom, hopefully, we'll get back to a little bit more normal.
You're missing the contact inside the chambers, I think, would have to be huge. Huge. I mean, just seeing people's reactions to a comment that's made.
You know,
Your staff, your aces, having them right there, and you can see what's going on, and even if it's like twiddling the pencil. Yeah, I mean, you pick up when they're supportive or when they think somebody's blowing smoke.
Well, I don't think Zoom demands the attention from the people that are in the meeting and from the public that you get in person.
So you've been answering emails at the same
absolutely not. But I think it distracts. We tend to. It's hard. I don't think it demands attention that a personal meeting does. It's distracting. Zoom's distracting.
Well, the commitment is different, also.
It is. It is, and you can turn your video off and still listen, but who knows what you're doing, and people can't see you, and it's just weird. It's just weird, and I don't have, as being a new supervisor, I haven't been in chambers yet, so I don't even know what it's like to have an audience that you can gauge, body language, and so forth and so on.
Do you have a name plaque yet?
I have a name plaque, yes.
Oh, okay, so you had the picture taken in front of it.
I just have a name. I have no picture.
Oh.
So I'm anxious to get in chambers and have that feel. You know, all the first news for a brand new supervisor, I was sworn in over Zoom without my family or my friends. I have yet to be in chambers. I have yet to have a in-chambers meeting where I can gauge people's feelings.
Can you have your Zoom meeting sitting in your chair? I mean, you'd be by yourself.
But nope. No, I've had my Zoom.
They don't let you go into the chambers?
No, because we actually, during our meetings, there is somebody in our chambers running the Legistar, recording and stuff. So, and broadcasting. I guess it would be the broadcasting. So I've been locked in my office. I do come to the courthouse.
They let you out every once in a while?
They do, once in a while. I feel it's really important for me to be amongst the staff. And on Mondays, I meet with department heads. And for a new supervisor, that's a function that I do come in a lot because I think it's necessary.
Now, you mentioned staff. And obviously, the elephant sitting there, well, probably may not be the reference she would prefer. But with the CAO's imminent departure, that's got to put a little ripple in the pond, huh?
It does. It's a very, I think we're waiting for the departure is the 31st. And so I think, we're kind of grasping at what's going to happen, or the 30th, I'm sorry. And I think for me, I don't know what to expect. I don't even know the process, which we're learning. And there's not enough time to interview and, a candidate search. And Amy's been great for me for a brand new supervisor. The CAO's office has made sure I've been up to speed, has answered my questions, has been helpful. I'm very thankful for them. And it is a little, for me, a little like, what happens now? Who do I talk to now? I've built a relationship with the CAO in the last 6 months and trust her and feel very easy asking her questions. And so for me, it's very unnerving.
Well, I suspect that, with anything, turnover, particularly for something where there's demand, so you're going to be able to fill it with somebody. It's not one of these empty chair kinds of jobs. Opportunity as well as loss.
Yeah.
Either get those outside ideas and bring somebody in. And I would suspect that's probably how most of those positions are filled throughout the country.
I would think so. I would think that it's a grander search than just our search locally, just to see what kind of see what we can entice to bring in to improve our county CAO's office. I think that I know, actually, just from Amy's done, in my opinion, a great job, and there's going to be a void. She brings certain things to the CAO's office that nobody else will fill. So I am a little sad that I don't get to finish working with her through my elected career.
Well, and you lose the localism.
Yep.
But, you know, maybe, again, somebody has a different idea.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we were talking about a little earlier.
Yep. Yep.
Huh. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Michelle Bushnell. With some of the challenges that are out there, this is the end of a fiscal year. What sense do you have? Is this upcoming year going to be a solid one, a strong one? Has this past year hit the numbers and the mileposts that everybody was looking at going into the COVID? Where are we financially?
Well, we're doing budget, so that's a good lead-in question. So the budget's new. The budget process is new for me. I think I know sales tax. While we had thought we're going to be under, we're over. We exceeded what we thought would be our sales tax number, so that's good. And people had to stay and shop local. We have we haven't closed our budget yet for 2020, and so that's a little weird for me because it's hard to have projections when you don't have finalized. And with the budget year,
you're saying 2019, 2020?
Yeah. So that's, and the process is so new for me, so I'm learning and trying to figure out where my position is in it, like how do I help guide the county, which. Right.
If you don't have that close, I mean, is that abnormal to be that latent?
We're the only county left in 58 that hasn't closed, so I would think that it's abnormal. I'm being told that it is. I think there's some explanations, but it seems abnormal to me.
But the result is you don't know where you are now because you don't know where you were yesterday or the day before.
Correct. Correct. I mean, you could assume, you could say, you know, I think this is where we're at, but a final, we don't have.
Well, plus or minus, because I would think even if it was, I don't know, quick what the percentage is. Let's say it was $1 million up or down. Okay, if it's $1 million, that's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
And if it's $1 million extra, I bet you somebody like Rhodes could take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Or the sheriff could take advantage of that, or the DA, or parole, or there's lots of folks that could, even though it was a small amount, relatively speaking, it's still a chunky if it's something you can take advantage of.
Wrapping my head personally around $1 million is not a lot of money is just bizarre to me because in everybody's world that's a lot of money.
Yeah, when you're struggling for $5, $1 million seems a little. Yeah.
Well, and when you have a budget, you know, in the $40 million range, I guess $1 million isn't a ton of money, but it's a ton of money to me. So you know, when you're saying
$40 million
or 41, I see this is. Where I get lost.
I was thinking 400 million.
Oh, yeah, it is. 400. I'm sorry. Four. It is.
Well, that old accounting thing just went out the window.
And that's where I'm so new. I'm like, grasping still. So, but yeah, I mean, I know with the budget talks, there's things that supervisors have kind of on their radar and on my radar in the Southern Humboldt area is the Garberville Vets Hall that's been 6 years in talkings. And so that's something that at the last...
$1 million could get thrown at that and take care of it pretty quick.
I think a couple million dollars because, you know, but yes, that is something that I am anxiously awaiting to come to the board and hoping to get support for. Our community down there hasn't had a vets hall for 7 years, and the courts are also part of that hall. And it's a venue for the Southern Humboldt area, which there aren't very many. So it's something that, like, I asked the CAO, I'm like, okay, how do I do this? How do we try to find money for this? And, you know, but it's interesting.
Fair enough. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We've been infiltrated this morning. Mr. Foster decided that once a month is not enough, so he's here just to kind of provide a little guidance for me, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, microphone always helps.
I'm not on the air.
No, you're not. Okay, fine.
I'm waiting to cut a spot as a program sponsor.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's one of those, and he doesn't want to do a live one, which is a good move.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, looking at the budget, if you don't know where you are, you don't know where you've been, what does the future look like?
Well, I don't. I mean, I think you have a certain base that you can count on, absolutely. And so the, like you said, the small percentage is what the unknowns are, what we could do extra. For instance, as you had said, maybe give the sheriff's department some more money or work on the vets hall in Garberville. So, you know, you do have a basis with that huge budget that you can count on, but the small unknowns that possibly the districts could utilize aren't, it's not, we don't know.
In the private sector, your shop, my shop, there are percentages and ratios.
Mm-hmm.
Are there ratios for government?
Yes. But being, this is, you know, I'm sorry for the listeners, but this is my first budget year. So I am really having to just pay attention, listen, read a lot. I mean, I fall asleep reading every night to try to figure out that process, those ratios, those, you know, like I told you earlier, I got told, oh, $1 million is not that much money. It's a lot of money to me. Well, $10 million is a huge amount of money. But in the big picture, it's not.
Well, I'm wondering, not California, and maybe it would be California. It's 58 mm-hmm. budgets, right? Okay, you put it all together and on a percentage basis.
Mm-hmm.
If you could then say, okay, there should be X amount going to this, that's the average.
Yeah.
And then you kind of deviate a little bit off of that. When the budget is being established, I know department heads kick in and they say, this is what we want, this is what we had, this is what we need. Okay. And everybody's got their wish list.
Yep.
But to get a sense of really how everything all comes together, is that something that the supervisors get involved with, or is that the CAO specifically, and then you just kind of review what they came up with and their arguments why?
So the CAO does that. You have a, like, the ratio you're talking about, the baseline. Each department has a ratio baseline. The wish list, what you're talking about, is what we're not able to kind of say that, yes, we could do that right now. So what has happened so far for me is we got the budget. It came to us. Monday is budget hearings and adoption. And that comes from the CAO's office saying this amount goes here to, say, DHHS. This amount goes there. That's a standard. And so the wish list of extras, or we're falling short in this department and where are we going to get that money, is what is the supervisor's kind of review. And we do review the whole entire budget. It's adopted as our supervisor, legislative body, adopt that and say, yes, this is how we're going to send those funds.
Do you get the flexibility to be able to nitpick it if you want? Or do you kind of stay back at 10,000 feet?
I think that you can ask questions. And once again, being my first year, that's what I've asked. Do I nitpick it? Do I say why this, why that, or why so much there? And, you know, I'm told, yes, those are questions you can ask and should. And also, the wish list for the supervisors. I know there's by district, there's wish lists. And so, yes, I think the supervisors are really involved, but the guidance comes from the CAO's office.
I've had a couple people ask the new appointment for a public health director. Is that under DHHS? Is that something that the SUPs make the determination of? What is the function, et cetera, of that position?
That position did not come through the supervisors. It came from DHHS. So it came from the director of DHHS.
So she's an employee of Connie's.
She is an employee of Connie's. Okay. Yep. Yep. And I, from what I understand, I asked that same question, you know, what, okay.
So you mean I could be a supervisor too?
You could.
Foster just passed out.
I'm looking at new locations here.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that the she's under the DHHS and gets her guidance from that director.
So not really a fundamental change in the protocols that the county has established with all the stuff surrounding what may be tomorrow dissipating.
Maybe tomorrow may be dissipating. Yeah.
Have you had any inkling at all from, I guess it would be the lobbyist, what Cal OSHA is saying,
well,
doing,
you know,
trying to position?
They came out right away saying June 30th that, you know, we'll anticipate no masking if you're vaccinated June 30th for Cal OSHA. And then right a couple weeks, I guess, they must have gotten pressure because they pulled back and said, okay, we're going to make a new determination. And what I'm hearing is to get more in line with what the state is adopting, as counties have gone away from their own county regulations and now are in line with state guidelines. That's what I'm hearing. But I'm not, I mean, I ask every day. I'm like, what do you think? Nobody knows.
So it's still sifting.
Shifting.
Shifting sands.
Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't do Sally either very well, trying to get that stuff all squared up.
Yeah.
At this point, because we've got the governor saying one thing, mm-hmm. and we've got Cal OSHA that hasn't made the adjustment yet this week, does that mean that what?
Well, it means you wear a mask if you're an employee, and you wear, you know, that.
Of governmental entities?
Of governmental entities, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. In the workplace.
We have, instead of in the stores where it's optional if you've had your
vaccine,
your shot
taken.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, there's no, it's the conversation all week. What are they going to say? What are we going to do? And then the anticipation for HR departments to how do we now make that happen?
Well, and with the HIPAA laws, mm-hmm. you know, you're trusting people, which is not normally a bad thing, but who knows?
There's speculation with that also. You know, if someone doesn't say they're vaccinated, you have to assume they aren't, I guess, is what I hear.
Instead of the other way?
I guess.
You know, you have to say that you haven't been?
Or
we're going to believe that you have been?
I would think that if someone walks in an office and doesn't have a mask on, that you should assume that they've been vaccinated because that's what the protocol says.
Yeah.
So if you go into a store and you see someone unmasked, they should have been vaccinated because that's what the guidelines say.
I don't think anybody's going to run up and say, did you?
I wouldn't count
on that.
Show
me your card. you know, have your tattoo, you know, your chip. I mean, it kind of goes down that ugly road
quick. I mean, it's very controversial, and because of HIPAA laws, you're not allowed to ask. And, you know.
So they box themselves in the corner.
Kind of, yes.
Yeah. But remember, you have to follow their rules. Oh, boy. Well, hopefully change is a good thing on this one.
I hope so. I think everybody can benefit from it, yes.
Fair enough. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, as always.
All righty. See you everybody tomorrow.